Shotgun. Marino throws deep downfield. It is caught by Fryer. Touchdown! Yes! Touchdown, Dolphins!
With in-depth analysis on the Miami Dolphins.
The Rangers call! That's on 4th and 5!
Live from the DolphinsTalk.com studios.
In my opinion, the greatest fans in the NFL, Miami Dolphin fans.
DolphinsTalk.com daily.
All right, Miami!
Dolphins fans, how are you today? And thank you for listening to DolphinsTalk.com Daily, the most listened to daily Miami Dolphins podcast on the internet. I am your host, Mike, on this Sunday night, September the 16th. This is the post-game wrap-up show, and we're going to talk about an outstanding Miami Dolphins victory today. The Miami Dolphins went to the swamps of New Jersey and beat the New York Jets 20-12 and have gotten off to a 2-0 start in this 2018 season. And as a fan of the Miami Dolphins, you have to be thrilled about that. You know, heading into the year, all the experts, whether ESPN, NFL.com, Sporting News, all that stuff, the NFL Network, all said, you know, Miami's ranked 32nd, the worst team in the league, worse than the Browns. They're in the bottom part of this league. They're terrible. You can't trust them. Today on the NFL Network, prior to the game, all four of the analysts picked the Jets to win, and we're laughing about it. Well, the Miami Dolphins are off to a 2-0 start and are in sole possession of first place in the AFC East at this time. And things, you know, today's game, you know, there were, you know, overall was mostly positive. There were some negatives that I will touch on with Tom here in a bit. But the Miami Dolphins are off to a 2-0 start, and the way the first two games have gone, you know, I couldn't be any more pleased. I think they're off to a good start. Still some things to work on, still some things to clean up, as there always is. But the Miami Dolphins had a great game today. MetLife Takeover Day, Igor and Michelle do outstanding work with that. Kudos to them. It looked like an amazing time. Matt, here from our website, he represented us at the event and was there. Just outstanding stuff with the MetLife Takeover, and just want to give a tip of the cap to them. But like I said, the 2018 season has opened up as well as any Miami Dolphins fan could have wanted it to open up. And I will say this, you know, Tannehill, Gase, they know what was said about them in the offseason. Even though they say they don't pay attention to what's out there in the media and stuff, they know. They know everyone sort of wrote Miami off, had them for dead, they're no good, this, that, and the other. This right now in 2018 is the Adam Gase and Ryan Tannehill middle finger FU tour. And the tour today made a stop in the swamps of New Jersey and came out with a 20-12 win against the Jets. Next week, the tour moves on to and heads back to Miami as they take on the Oakland Raiders, as Miami will look to get off to a 3-0 start. The Raiders right now are 0-2, had a heartbreaking loss today. But we're not going to talk about that today. We are just going to sort of talk about this big Miami Dolphins win. So what I'm going to do is take a quick break. And after the break, I will be joined by Tom Earnesty for the post-game wrap-up show.
Simbad Sports is the number one sports memorabilia company in South Florida and the number one place to go get your Miami Dolphins memorabilia. Simbad Sports has the likes of Rashad Jones, Cam Wake, Kiko Alonso, and Frank Gore in for autograph signings within the past year alone. So when in South Florida area, visit Simbad Sports at 1976 South University Drive, Davie, Florida. Tell them DolphinsTalk.com sent you.
DolphinsTalk.com post-game wrap-up show. This is your host, Tom Earnesty. I have Mike with me on the other line. Mike, how you doing tonight?
I'm doing outstanding. It's one more win for the Dolphins, and we got a fast start here at 2-0.
It's something that many of us actually had down as you know, the Dolphins going 2-0 to start the season at least. But the way they've done it has been interesting, to say the least, especially after last week. So they go into the Meadowlands today at MetLife, and it was MetLife Takeover. Kudos to Igor Dolphins NYC. It looked like the event was an astounding hit. Looked like there was a ton of fans there, and it was loud. Just watching it on television, you heard them in that game just screaming and chanting on every first down, every touchdown, and every time the Jets were in third down, you heard the Dolphins fans screaming. So kudos to them. It was a great takeover, and the Dolphins ended up winning today. What are your thoughts, first off, on the MetLife takeover and how Igor and everybody did for the event?
Igor and Michelle do an outstanding job with that every year, and it just keeps growing and growing. And I saw earlier this week, they hinted at next year, because Miami also plays at the Giants, that there will be two MetLife takeovers, I believe. I'm not 100% confirmed, but I believe he did tweet that out. So next year, there's going to be two opportunities for this one. Miami plays at the Jets, and they also play at the Giants. So it is only going to continue to grow next year, and it will be done twice, I believe. So it's outstanding. Those guys put in a lot of work, and they raise a lot of money for charity. I saw a picture online of Michelle and I think Igor handing a check over to Jason Jenkins for the Miami Dolphins Foundation. So they do great work there, raise a lot of money, and it looks like a blast. And I know you and I have talked about it. I think next year, since there will be two, we're going to try and find one of the games to attend. Look out for us at least one of those next year. I'm hoping it's a game against the Jets, but of course we got to see how that falls and stuff. But those guys do great work, and the fans really showed up today, were loud, and great for them. Outstanding.
We can maybe even talk Igor into having our pregame show recorded on Saturday night at Slattery's. that would be incredible to be able to do that show, to do the show there, whatever game it is, do the pregame show at Slattery's, and get a chance to enjoy the game on Sunday, and also have a lot of live interaction with the fans that are there.
Absolutely.
Enjoying the weekend. So
Matt from
we're
going
to have to talk to him and see.
Yep. Matt from our website, he was there today. I know he interacted with a lot of fans. He was sending out a ton of tweets prior to the game, so be sure you're following Matt. Off the top of my head, I don't have his Twitter handle, but I will put it up on the website. He was there representing us, and it looks like he had a blast. I mean, he really did.
Awesome. All right, so let's break down this 20-12 victory over the New York Jets. We're going to, of course, start the game with a Miami Dolphins punt. Four plays, 23 yards, and a punt. The Jets went five plays, 10 yards, and a punt. The Dolphins went three plays and minus 13 yards on the next drive. Now, this drive, Tannehill was sacked twice, and one of those sacks, he did fumble. He tried to scramble out. He rolled out to the right on a bootleg, and Jamal Adams just chased him down, knocked the ball loose. Thankfully, it was recovered by A.J. Derby at the Dolphins' 34-yard line, but he was also sacked on 3rd and 8 for a loss of 15 by Anderson, forcing a punt. What were your thoughts, real quick, on the offensive line play, particularly in the early stages of this game?
Offensive line play today was I'm going to say a lot of positive things here about the Miami Dolphins with this game. The offensive line play today wasn't great. Now, it wasn't awful, but it just wasn't great. The loss of Sitton, it's clear, and it's very evident. But we had the bad snap later on by Kilgore. Larson, good in, like what we already know about Ted Larson. Good in the run blocking, but he struggles pass blocking a little bit. So the offensive line, it wasn't bad. It wasn't totally awful, but it wasn't great either. It was just a me game for the offensive line. But the loss of Sitton, it was evident today. That is clear.
And after that fantastic punt by Matt Hawk of 63 yards to pin the Jets at the 10, this drive ended with a Sam Darnold interception. That play was intended for Quincy Enunwa. And as that play developed, as they were showing the replay, I looked at the way Enunwa lined up, and I said he didn't see McDonald sitting in the zone. He just sat in his zone, and Enunwa just ran right in. But you can see on the replay, Darnold, being as a rookie, he just stared Quincy Enunwa down. He was in tight coverage to begin with, and McDonald just sat in zone and picked off the pass. It was a great play that was returned 31 yards to the Jets' 15-yard line. What were your thoughts on that play, and were you surprised that Darnold looked a little shaky early?
Not at all. I sort of spoke about this all week. I knew Sam Darnold would come back to earth. Now, look, Sam Darnold, he showed today enough where in the next year or two or three, he is going to be a pain in the neck to have to see twice a year for the Miami Dolphins. He's going to be really good. But I knew what happened Monday night against the Lions for them. You know, that was probably his peak, and he was going to come back to earth. The Lions that past Monday were a mess. Paul Pasqualoni's not a very good defensive coordinator. There's a million reasons why Sam Darnold looked good in that game, and I knew he would struggle here against Miami some. And that's, you know, that's a rookie mistake right there. He'll sort of grow off that and improve, but thankfully it's not going to be – it wasn't today against the Miami Dolphins, and he sort of gave the Miami Dolphins right there a gift, as he did once again later on in the game, which we will touch on. But Sam Darnold, not shocked that he struggled today, but I do think the future for him is very bright, unfortunately, and he's going to be a pain in the neck to see twice a year.
I can see that out of Sam Darnold as well. I think, you know, he's going to be maturing this year. He's going to take his lumps, which is perfectly fine. You know, he had glimpses, you know, especially late in the first half, into the second half. He was helping the Jets move the ball at will.
And let me say one more thing about the Jets. Let me say something about the Jets. The NFL must hate the Jets. And look, I have no sympathy for them at all, but they played Monday night. They have a short week, and they played Miami. Now they have another short week, and they play Thursday night on the road against the Browns. Somebody in the NFL offices must have had it out for the Jets to open up short weeks to play Monday, Sunday, Thursday. Look, if that was the Miami Dolphins, I'd be screaming from the rooftops out. That's unfair, and that's not right. For the Jets, I don't really care, and I'm kind of glad because I want to watch them suffer. But, you know, that really is – that's a rough start for Sam Darnold and the Jets to go short week, Monday, Sunday, Thursday. That's rough.
Not as rough as 16 straight games.
Yeah, that's true too. But that's still rough, though. That's still rough.
And it absolutely
was the Miami Dolphins.
Is.
We'd all be screaming from the rooftop. We got to be honest about it. But that's a rough start for the rookie quarterback.
So after the interception, the Miami Dolphins had the ball three plays, 15 yards. That was capped off by a Kenyon Drake 6-yard run for a touchdown. All running plays on that drive, even a direct snap to Albert Wilson on second down. But Drake finished the job with a 6-yard score, making the score of the ball game 7-0. We go punt, 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 punt in typical fashion. But then we get into some interesting things that were happening in this game. So on 1st and 10 from the Jets' 39-yard line, after all these punts occurred, Darnold threw to Robbie Anderson, who caught the ball. Kiko Alonso, who had a fantastic game today, forced a fumble on Robbie Anderson, which was recovered by Raekwon McMillan. And after review of the play, it was upheld that he did catch the ball, make a football move, and it was stripped by Kiko Alonso, which at that point led to a two-play 49-yard drive for the Miami Dolphins. Jakeem Grant went 5 yards on the first play and got a face mask penalty, and the drive was capped off on a nice crossing route by Albert Wilson, and he turned a 5-yard crossing route into a 29-yard touchdown. And that is why Albert Wilson has paid the money that he's paid, and the Dolphins moved on from Jarvis Landry. What were your thoughts on the play by Albert Wilson to put the Dolphins up 14-0?
I love Albert Wilson. I really do. They cannot get the ball in his hands enough. That was a great play when he scored the touchdown there, the speed. He got to the corner, found the end zone, super fast. And we sort of spoke about it there about 1 minute ago. And he ran the Wildcat play for one play on the, I think the first touchdown drive. They cannot find ways to get him the ball enough. He is a weapon. He needs to have the ball in his hands more. I think it was somebody probably like a month or so back, like in August, wrote the article how it was the worst contract this offseason that was handed out for, I think it was someone for like Sporting News or something, which was ridiculous because he's not even making
it. I'm sure it was Bill Barnwell from ESPN.
It wasn't him, but it was somebody like that. And, I mean, Albert Wilson, he is just a fantastic player. The speed, he's got grit. I am in love with Albert Wilson. It's a little bit of a man crush. I just get him the ball as much as possible because he's a big play, waiting to happen, and he can do so many things. Like when they line him up, and I know it's coming soon, when they line him up in the Wildcat, there will be a play this year where he does throw the ball, because in high school he was an all-world quarterback. So I know that they're just getting ready to set that up, where it's run it, run it, run it. Oh, and all of a sudden one day, boom, he's going to throw it. I know it's going to come. Just get him the ball as much as you can, because Albert Wilson, to me, is the number two wide receiver on the Miami Dolphins right now behind Kenny Stills.
I don't disagree with that. One of the things that Omar Kelly pointed out, after Albert Wilson was signed, is his run after the catchability. And all it took was just one little shimmy to get Buster Skrine turned inside out that sprung him for that touchdown on that drive, which, again, put the Dolphins up 14-0. After a jet punt, three plays minus 7 yards on that drive, the Dolphins, 8 plays, 62 yards, and a touchdown, capped off on the drive by a 19-yard pass from Ryan Tannehill, who on this particular play had great pocket presence, maintained his composure, stepped into a throw, and found A.J. Derby in the end zone for the touchdown. The missed extra point by Jason Sanders. Look, we could talk about Jason Sanders and his missed extra point here today that could have potentially cost the Dolphins if the Jets actually were smart, and we're going to get into that next drive as soon as we finish this one up. But overall, I thought that was a very good play by Ryan Tannehill, maintaining his pocket, stepping into the pocket, and throwing that football on a laser with two guys on A.J. Derby. Found the perfect spot for him. Derby catches the ball and gets the touchdown. What are your thoughts on that play?
A.J. Derby made a heck of a play there, and I know everyone, as fans, we were all very excited about Mike Gesicki, and it will come. He's a rookie through two games. He's done, virtually nothing, let's just be honest. But don't panic on Mike Gesicki. It will come in time. It's just he's a rookie, and that's a tough spot for a rookie at tight end. And he's really probably hyper-focusing on his blocking because that is the weakness in his game. But A.J. Derby, great catch there. Great play by him. And, Sanders, let's save that for later. Let me just say this about Sanders. He's a rookie. He's on the road. The missed extra point, not the end of the world. He's going to miss one or two here or there. It's fine. It didn't hurt Miami today. Not going to go crazy. But he's only going to get so many of those, and he used one up today. So I'll just sort of leave it at that.
So after the Dolphins drive up 20-0, the Jets received the ball with 42 seconds left in the half, took the ball down to the Miami 14-yard line. And now this is where I was confused. I don't mind it at this point because it didn't hurt the Dolphins. But as a fan of the NFL, you're scratching your head going, you have no timeouts, you have 10 seconds, and you're in field goal range, pretty easy field goal range. It's pretty much a chip shot at this point of about 32 yards. And you decided to run a play, and the worst possible scenario happened where Darnold throws the ball to Herndon at the 2, he fumbled, picked up the ball, and got tackled at the 1 yard line, short of the goal line, and the half ended with the Jets not getting any points on the board. I think that was just complete stupidity by Jeremy Bates and Todd Bowles for thinking that was the smart play, putting the ball in the middle of the field with no timeouts towards the end of the half. And you do not want to leave points on the board. You don't want to leave points on the field. And that's exactly what happened. 20-0 was the score at halftime. Although it was a very nice drive by the Jets, it was completely destroyed by a horrible play call and the clock dwindling away. I know that worked perfectly for the Dolphins. It worked against the Jets. What were your thoughts on the Jets running that play with 10 seconds left?
They should have took the field goal, number one. Todd Bowles will never be confused with Vince Lombardi. He never has been. He never will be. He's just not a very good head coach. At that point, he has to take control. He has a rookie quarterback. And we don't know what play was called. Maybe they did call a play where they wanted him to go to the sidelines. Either way, you have a rookie quarterback. You have to protect him against himself, essentially. And they did not. And it ended up hurting them and helping the Miami Dolphins. So I'm happy.
I was perfectly fine with it.
Exactly. I'm perfectly fine with it. They should have took the points, though. But like I said, not a shock with the Jets. They're not a well-coached team at all. So sort of is what it is. But, yeah, great for Miami. They're up 20-0 at the half, and I'm sitting there watching the Jets offense. I'm going, there's no way this game should be close in the second half. Miami should win this game easily. And, of course, didn't quite happen that way, but as we'll get into.
What's the old adage? Not so fast, my friend.
Not so fast, my friend.
So the Jets get the opening, receive the opening kickoff, marks 7 plays, 75 yards, 3 minutes and 9 seconds. A lot, you know, very good play calling, just like it was at the end of the first half, pretty much the same type of drive in the second half, to begin the second half. And on 3rd and 9, the Dolphins got burned for a 28-yard touchdown pass to Bilal Powell. Looks like on that particular play that Kiko Alonso was supposed to be in coverage there. Looks like that was completely blown, and Powell made a couple guys miss, drove himself into the end zone. 20-6 the score. On the ensuing drive, Ryan Tannehill, I have no idea what happened, if he had popcorn on the sideline or what, but he just dropped the football when he tried to throw it, recovered by the New York Jets at the Miami 12-yard line, and I felt momentum shifting. What were your thoughts there, and did you feel that the game was making the shift?
Yes. I'm like, oh, no, this is really going to happen, and we're going to make Sam Darnold a star in his first home game, and it was going to make me sick. Yeah, look, Tannehill, and he had a – like I said last week after the game, he had a typical Ryan Tannehill game. 85% of the game, he was good to very good. The other 15%, he wasn't. And this is part of that 15%, this play right here. There are some other plays, specifically probably in the first quarter where he held on to the football a little bit too long and stuff like that, which is, look, that's who Ryan Tannehill is. It's not going to change. He's been in the league since 2012. He's never going to be a top 10 quarterback in this league. It is who it is. We have to live with it. And like I said, if he's good 85% of the time in games, more times than not, we will win. And today was that game. He was 85% of the time. He was good. The other 15%, it was bad. This is one of the 15% where he just sort of dropped the ball. It happens. It happens to all quarterbacks at times. So not sort of trying to single him out here as like, oh, my God, I can't believe he did that. It does happen, but it happened in a bad spot. And he was very lucky on the next play that he was bailed out.
Absolutely. On the very next play from scrimmage, Sam Darnold threw the ball into the end zone to Terrell Pryor, and it was intercepted by Xavien Howard for a touchback. It was a reviewed play. The interception ruling stood, and the Dolphins got the ball back. Howard had great coverage there. It looked like Pryor slowed down on the play as well,
yep.
And Howard essentially became the wide receiver on the play, read Darnold's pass perfectly, and intercepted the ball. Howard had a very decent game today. Other than, you know, a penalty here and there, nothing extravagant, but the interception was huge because without that interception, who knows where this game would have gone.
I found a great stat too about him. Here's my great stat I found after the game. And I forgot who sent it to me or put it up. In the last 7 regular season games, Xavien Howard has 5 interceptions. That's a great stat. And that's a sign of a very good player at his spot there at cornerback, 5 interceptions in his last 7 regular season games heading back to last year. So, look, Xavien Howard's very good. The Miami Dolphins secondary, you know, they had a spell from about the end of the first half to like midway through the third quarter where they didn't look so hot. But overall, they are still the strength of that side of the football. And the secondary played great today. Xavien Howard, nothing to complain about there. Just another big play that was a big factor in the Miami Dolphins winning this game.
Absolutely. So after a couple more punts, the Dolphins receive the ball, 6 plays and 42 yards. And then the Daniel Kilgore fumble, which you mentioned earlier, occurred at the Jet 39-yard line as the Dolphins were putting together a very nice drive, destroyed by an awful, awful snap. I don't know if the humidity played a role in this game with Tannehill dropping the ball and Kilgore essentially not lifting – not snapping the ball. He just rolled it into his ankle.
Who knows?
And that was the end of that drive. After that drive, the Jets kicked a field goal to make it 20-9, which this drive was absolutely incredible, to be honest with you. It was 11 plays, 22 yards, and just 6 minutes.
22 yards in 6 minutes.
11 plays, 22 yards, 6 minutes.
They got points out of it. God bless them.
They did. After a three and out by the Miami Dolphins at 29, the Jets kicked another field goal, a 10-play, 63-yard drive at 3 minutes and 5 seconds. The Dolphins received the ball back with 5 minutes and 56 seconds left and iced the game. When was the last time the Miami Dolphins iced a game with 6 minutes left?
A long time.
It was a great drive.
That's great.
It was a great drive by all involved, especially Frank Gore, as well as Ryan Tannehill using his legs and completing a 3rd and 19. The Dolphins completed a 3rd and long, ladies and gentlemen.
Yep.
It has happened. It can be done. But anyways, that ended the game. Dolphins kneeled on the football after the 2-minute warning, and the final score again, 20-12, the Miami Dolphins over the New York Jets. Let's go over some game recap here with some statistics. Ryan Tannehill today, we're going to get your thoughts on Tannehill. 17-23, 168 yards, averaged 7.3 yards per attempt, 2 touchdowns, no interceptions. He was sacked 4 times in this game for 46 yards, did lose a fumble, and had a quarterback rating of 123.1, but he also rushed 8 carries for 44 yards and had a long of 20. What are your thoughts on Ryan Tannehill in this game?
Like I said before, just overall, 85% of it was good. And if this was 2017 and we had Matt Moore or Jay Cutler playing quarterback, the Miami Dolphins do not win this game today. Ryan Tannehill is a big part of the Miami Dolphins winning this game. 17 for 23, 168 yards, 2 touchdowns. Can't knock it at all. 8 rushes, 44 yards, made a ton of plays with his legs. Tannehill was very good today. But there is that 15% of the game where he was not very good. He held onto the ball way too long. He took too many hits, and he did fumble twice, losing one. You know, those are the things that this week it didn't hurt the Miami Dolphins, mainly because they're playing a Jets team, as I said all week, and many people said I was wrong, have no weapons on offense at all. The Jets are just anemic on offense. The game against the Lions was a fluke. The Jets' offense is just not that good with a rookie quarterback, so they can get away with those mistakes against a team like the Jets. Upcoming, though, you got a Raiders team, who I know they're 0-2, but, you know, they got some offensive firepower there. You got New England and Cincinnati. Those mistakes have to be reduced. Those are the games where Tannehill cannot, you know, hold on to the ball and take those sacks, and he cannot lose fumbles. So he'll have to clean it up some. But overall, Ryan Tannehill, heck of a game. When you are 17 for 23, 2 touchdowns, no interceptions, and a 123 quarterback rating, it's tough to knock him. And then he ran for more yards than the entire Jets offense. So it's tough to knock him. He played a heck of a game, big part of the win, but he does have to clean up the mistakes because you're not going to get away with that every week, and that's a fair criticism.
Absolutely, I agree. I'm going to rant for just a few minutes here. I am, you know, after a Dolphins win, you celebrate a win, right? Am I fair in that statement? You celebrate the win.
I do. Yeah, because they're tough. It's tough to win in this league. It's hard to win games in this league. It's hard to win on the road. It's hard to beat teams inside your own division on the road. You better celebrate those wins, pretty or not.
And this message, and this my rant right now is really towards the Tannehaters of the world. If you are a fan of the Miami Dolphins, you take a win when you win. Don't sit there and discredit a quarterback for making some mistakes and putting a microscope on some of the things he didn't do well instead of focusing on the things that he did right. And the fact of the matter is this. The Dolphins are 2-0 this year. They are 10-5 with Ryan Tannehill under center with Adam Gase as the head coach calling the plays. Stop complaining about Ryan Tannehill and complain when he loses. Stop complaining when he wins. It's asinine, and it proves that you are not a fan of the Miami Dolphins. And you take better pleasure in the team suffering and losing than you do in celebrating when they win. That's all I got to say about that.
No, but it's true. I mean, look, when head coach Adam Gase, now this is year three, when he has Ryan Tannehill under center, you know, he wins games, period. They might not all be a thing of beauty, but who the hell cares? You're winning the games. I'd rather win ugly than lose, you know. So some of the games aren't picturesque. And today, you know, Tannehill played well. He did. He played very good. He made some mistakes, though, and it's fair to talk about them and talk about how he has to clean it up. But overall, Tannehill played well. And this is who Ryan Tannehill is. There's a segment of the fan base that just, I don't know, they can't get it through their head. They're thinking that he's going to make this leap and be a guy he's never going to be. Ryan Tannehill will never be a top five or a top 10 quarterback in this league. He's always going to be a guy who's just a middle-of-the-road type quarterback who will play more good than bad most weeks. Like I said, most weeks in his NFL time, especially under Adam Gase, 85% of the game he plays great. 15%, not so great. And if that's the split every week, I'll take it. Honestly, I'll take it at this point. And because that's who he is, and he's not going to change. He's been in the league since 2012, people. 2012. What you see is what you get. You're not going to see any drastic shift of him become way better than he is right now, or on the other side, way worse than he is right now. You have to accept who he is and take the few bad plays each week and just sort of say, well, that's who he is, but you're going to get more good plays than bad plays. And if you're still holding out hope that look, at some point he won't be the starting quarterback for the Miami Dolphins. So if you're hoping for that day, eventually you'll get your day, but it's not going to be any time soon. It ain't going to be any time this year, unless he gets hurt again or something. But so it's like, I don't get it. He plays well. And you can point out a bad play here and a bad play there, which most of us do when they happen. But you're going to get more good plays than bad. So, look, there's a segment of this fan base who will never like him for whatever reason. I just try to ignore that part of the fan base. On the other side, there's another part of the fan base who will just make endless excuses for him. And when he does make a bad play, they don't want to hear that either. So I've sort of written them off as well. But the majority of level-headed, reasonable Miami Dolphins fans, you know, understand Tannehill's a good quarterback who helps his team win, especially under Adam Gase, more than lose. And that's what it is.
Yep. And it's, you know, the ceiling for Tannehill is Alex Smith in his 4 years in Kansas City.
Yeah.
That's his ceiling.
Absolutely.
That's it.
That's it.
That's his ceiling. So at the end of the day, you know what you have. Adam Gase is making the most of what he has, and the team is still winning. 10-5 with him under center.
And here's what the Miami Dolphins have to hope for. Here's what they have to hope for. Because everybody compares him to Alex Smith. There's another player I compare him to as well, and that's Joe Flacco. Maybe Joe Flacco has more arm strength and all that stuff, but essentially they're the same type of player. For the Miami Dolphins, if you're a fan, you got to hope the Miami Dolphins get into the playoffs, and then just like the Ravens did that 1 year, you hope he has the month of his life, because the Ravens made the playoffs and Joe Flacco that 1 year had the month of his life and he won them a Super Bowl. Because the year they won the Super Bowl, the Ravens defense was ranked like 29th or 30th. They weren't the Ravens anymore. Ray Lewis was old. Ed Reed was old. They still made, you know, some plays here or there, but they were bad that year on defense. The Miami Dolphins have to hope and pray one of these years they sneak into the playoffs with a wild card, win the East, whatever, however they get there. And that Tannehill, from January to February, has the month of his life. And that's the best hope for the Miami Dolphins, as long as he's the quarterback. And, you know, the fan base who just, you know, let it go. I mean, just get off his back. They're 2-0. They're winning games on the road, especially after what we saw last year with Matt Moore and Jay Cutler. If you're going to complain about this guy, you really need your head examined.
Exactly. And let's name off real quick the 2-0 football teams in the NFL this season. The Dolphins, the Bengals, the Kansas City Chiefs,
Jacksonville, Tampa, all the teams of Florida.
Jacksonville and Tampa.
All the teams of Florida.
So there's what, six teams I named off?
I think so, yeah.
Six teams are undefeated in the NFL after 2 weeks, and the Dolphins are one of them. So you take it how it is. The Dolphins are 2-0. Stop complaining about the quarterback play when they win. Complain about it when they lose. if it was essentially if he throws for 400 yards and four touchdowns and they lose, they'll still find a way for it to be on him. Anyway.
He should have threw for five.
rushing game today for the Dolphins, 31 carries, 135 yards, 4.4 yards per carry, led by Kenyon Drake, 11 carries for 53 yards and a touchdown, and Tannehill, 44 yards on 8 carries. Frank Gore, 25 yards on 9 carries. Wilson, 2 carries with 8 yards. And Jakeem Grant, 1 carry for 5. The Dolphins, Ryan Tannehill spread the ball around a little bit today. 7 receivers caught passes. Danny Amendola had 4 catches for 32 yards. Thankfully, he played after that shot he took.
He came back, and that was a big shot. And, he looked in
that first. Oh, man, it was bad. I'm just glad it wasn't to his head, and it was more towards his chest. Albert Wilson, 3 for 37, of course, had that beautiful touchdown. Jakeem Grant, 2 for 27. Derby, 1 for 19. Gore, 1 for 19. Stills, 2 for 17. Kenny Drake, 4 for 17.
Yeah, they did a good job of taking out Stills. They did a very – you got to give the Jets credit. They took away Stills, and they did a very good job. And you got to give credit, you know, to Ryan Tannehill for finding other ways to move the ball in the air, because the Jets did a heck of a job taking away Stills in this game.
Absolutely. So let's get into the defense. The defense today, Sam Darnold threw for 334 yards, but let's just call it what it is, 334 yards in the air today. Most of that was because they were playing behind by 20 points. And at the end of the first half. So he was very pedestrian, 1 touchdown, 2 interceptions. He was sacked 3 times. Quarterback rating is 74.6. And this was a key in the countdown to kickoff show that was what I really had a focus on for the Dolphins, key to victory, stopping the Jets' run game. They did a great job this week. 19 carries for the Jets as a team, 42 pedestrian yards at 2.2 yards per carry. So all in all, in the first 2 weeks, the Miami Dolphins have given up roughly 170 yards on the ground from Derrick Henry, Deion Lewis, Isaiah Corral, and Bilal Powell. So yeah. All in all, that's not a bad job. They got their hands full next week with Marshawn Lynch, which we'll get into a little bit. Quincy Enunwa had a very good game, 7 catches for 92 yards, targeted 11 times. He is definitely Sam Darnold's favorite target in New York. Bilal Powell, 5 for 74. Terrell Pryor, 4 for 84. And the rest of the guys, so on and so forth. They did a good job taking Robbie Anderson out of the game. He only had 3 catches for 27 yards. Jermaine Kearse, who they were talking up like, oh, my God, Jermaine Kearse is back. We're going to be great. 1 catch minus 1. So that was the end of that. But defensively today, Kiko Alonso, this stat is so unheard of in today's NFL. He had 13 tackles, and all of them were on one-on-one basis. Kiko, my hat's off to you. That is such a great job today. And as much as we have knocked him for bad play last year, he has come out swinging this year, and he's had a very good first 2 weeks. What are your thoughts on Kiko Alonso in this game?
Kiko Alonso, I think it's helped him this year that he has some players around him who are just a little bit better than what he had around him last year. Last year, he had a rough year last year, but the Miami Dolphins linebackers last year were an utter embarrassment across the board. They had nobody next to him. This year, he's got 2 young kids next to him in McMillan and Jerome Baker. And, you know, they're still young rookies, essentially. But you can tell they're more athletic. They're just, I don't even know how to put it into words, just much better players right now than the guys they had last year. And that's sort of helped out Kiko Alonso this year. It's shown. And the one big concern I had about the Miami Dolphins coming into 2018 was the front 7 and the run defense. And so far through 2 games, I am pleasantly surprised with the front 7 and how they're sort of stopping the run. Now, I know today the Jets gave up on the run because they were down by 20 points in the first half, and they sort of had to. And that plays a factor into that stat. I get it. But even last week, Tennessee ran for 100 yards. It was a quiet 100 yards or so. It was like 130 or something they ran for. It was a quiet 130. They really didn't break off any long runs or anything. So the Miami Dolphins front 7 through two games. It's a small sample size, I know, long way to go, and they're going to face much better running backs in the upcoming weeks, has been a pleasant surprise, and I am very pleased with the front seven. The pass rush today, I thought, was very good as well. They had three sacks, but they were just in Sam Darnold's face most of the day, just making his life miserable. So the front seven overall is vastly improved, and the linebackers are playing well right now. They're still young. I'm sure they're going to have their moments where they struggle here, struggle there. But so far through two games, Raekwon and Jerome Baker have played very good.
I've been impressed with the linebacking corps at this point. You know, and Kiko's leading the way. Kiko is the leader of those young guys that are next to him. It's been a very good thing to see, and hopefully the development of Raekwon McMillan and Jerome Baker continue as we progress through the season, and they just continue to get better. The last thing we'll touch on before we get to the key plays to the game from each of us, I'd like to commend Matt Hawk.
Yes.
This kid today had six punts, averaged 49.2 yards. He pinned the Jets inside the 20 five times. So if you don't think that played a role in how successful the Miami Dolphins front seven was today, getting after Sam Darnold, that right there is a key part of that. And Matt Hawk has been an absolute weapon in his first 18 games as a Miami Dolphin. I believe what I heard or read is that he already broke the Miami Dolphins record for, I think, inside the 20s in his first 18 games.
That's great. And there's an old saying everyone should just always remember: never take the foot out of football. You got to have good special teams play. So never take the foot out of football. And Hawk today, he had a heck of a game, pinned him back deep, just tremendous. He ended last year, too, very strong. Because remember, the first part of last year, he sort of struggled some, and he was having some short punts and, you know, stuff like that. He ended last year strong, and so far this year, he's been great, and today he was exceptional.
No questions asked. He was definitely one of the best players on the field today, and he was an absolute weapon. You know, yes, he is punting the football, but when you can pin your guy inside the 20, when you flip the field as well as he does,
that helps. That helps a lot.
It helps big time, and it helps the defense, stretches that field out for the opposing teams, and forces more punts or turnovers, which actually occurred on one of those Jets drives. Let's go out to the key plays of the game. I'll give you one key play of the game. I'll actually start with my key play of the game. My key play of the game was the Xavien Howard interception after the Ryan Tannehill fumble at the 12-yard line. I think that really changed the momentum back in the Miami Dolphins' favor, being up 20-6. The Jets score a touchdown on that drive. We're looking at a whole different ball game, but Xavien Howard coming up with a big play. That is my key play of the game. Mike, what do you have for yours?
My key play is in the fourth quarter, because Miami did all their scoring in the first half, and the way that game was going sort of towards the third and fourth quarter made you a little nervous. So when they converted a 3rd and 19 pass to Frank Gore to pretty much end the game, that was my key play of the game. 3rd and 19, you know, you're just hoping to pick up some yards, maybe kick a long field goal, maybe get some more yards if you do punt to sort of pin them back further. They converted a 3rd and 19 on the road. Big play of the game, ice the game. That's my key play of the game.
Excellent. Let's go into game balls. Who do you have your game ball going to this week?
I got a feeling they're each going to pick the same guy, but I'm going with Kiko Alonso. 13 tackles, all solo. Heck of a game for him. The Miami Dolphins defense won this game for them this week. And that's not a knock on the offense in any way. They just played tremendously on that side of the ball. And to me, he was just everywhere. He was the leader of that unit today. And I give it to Kiko Alonso. He gets, you know, we sort of, not just we as in me at, or this site or podcast, just Miami Dolphins fans in general sort of rip on him a lot. He had a rough 2017. When he has a day like this, he should be recognized. And he had an amazing game. So he gets my game ball today.
I would tell you Kiko Alonso as well. However, I am going to go to – I'm going to steal a little bit of the thunder from the Miami Dolphins. I'm giving it to Frank Gore, number four all-time in leading rushing in NFL history. Kudos to Frank Gore. a phenomenal career, trying to finish it in his hometown of Miami. And the way the guy is playing right now, it seems like he can go for another year, but we'll take it each game in stride with Frank Gore. But kudos to him. My game ball goes to him for achieving that amazing rushing record, going into fourth place behind Emmett Smith, Walter Payton, and Barry Sanders. Three elite running backs to ever play the game, and Frank Gore is now up there. And if you think about the story of Frank Gore, and it's been talked about a lot, and I followed him in college with the Miami Hurricanes, the guys just had bad luck after bad luck with torn ACLs, and then gets into the NFL. No one was really giving him a chance, and he just turned it into one of the greatest careers of all time. So my game ball goes to Frank Gore. Kudos to you, sir, and hope for continued success with the Miami Dolphins.
One other name.
Let's talk.
Hold on. One other name. We've been on almost an hour now, and there's one name we haven't mentioned that if you look at the box score, he did nothing today special per the stats. But I thought for the second straight game made an impact on the Miami Dolphins. That's Minkah Fitzpatrick. Had another great game. In the stat sheets, it only shows up 3 tackles, 2 solos, nothing special. But Minkah Fitzpatrick made an impact on this game again. He is sort of someone who's just sort of sealed up that secondary, I think, and sort of made it a unit where in the past it's like we have one good safety in Jones. Xavien Howard started to come on, but they never really played as a strong unit. I think Minkah Fitzpatrick sort of brings everybody together and makes that a strong unit. It didn't show up today in the stat sheet. Minkah Fitzpatrick had another good day today.
He certainly did. And, you know, one guy that we didn't talk about today, which is kind of invisible, but he was there. Rashad Jones really didn't make as much of an impact as last week, but his presence was still felt on the field overall. But let's real quick, let's just get into a couple of tidbits around the AFC East. First thing that we want to talk about is Vontae Davis. Up and quit when the Bills were down to, I believe it was 21-3 at halftime or 28-3 at halftime. He walked in the locker room, took his pads off, put his regular clothes on, and said, "I'm done," and walked out of the facility and retired from the NFL. I don't care what any Bills fan will say about this. He quit because the team is atrocious.
Yeah, I think you're right. I don't think he wants to go through a long season, and they're going to have a long season. And I have no problem with him wanting to retire and not play anymore. That's fine. He's entitled. His body, he's had a lot of injuries of late, too. He's entitled to say, you know what, I'm done. The thing that he shouldn't have done, though, is quit in the middle of the game. Say what you want last year about when Lawrence Timmons went AWOL. At least the Miami Dolphins knew heading into that game, he ain't here, he ain't playing. We can activate someone else and not lose a roster spot. When you quit in the middle of the game, now the Bills are playing one guy down. Now, Grant, just one guy, but you're playing one guy down, and you literally, I mean, talk about quitting on your team in the middle of a game. You walk off the field and say, "I'm done." He could have finished the game at least, you know? Or people
not even –
anything. Lie. Say, "I hurt my hamstring. I can't go." Then retire after the game. But to walk out in the middle of the game, that's when you know. Unprecedented. If I'm a fan of the Bills right now, I would just, you know, don't even watch the next however many Sundays this year because it's going to get worse. You know you're in the middle of a chaotic nightmare train wreck season. And as fans of the Miami Dolphins, we saw one last year. So, you know, we know what one looks like. This is a sign when one of your players quits in the middle of the game. So, look, this team for the Bills, they're going to go 1-15, 2-14 if they're lucky. But that's what they're looking at right now. And not because Vontae Davis was a great player for him, but, you know, it's just they have no control over that team right now. It's an utter mess top to bottom. The head coach, who was lucky to make the playoffs last year, very lucky, is in way over his head. I've never liked him much as a coach at all. They're a mess. The Bills are a mess. And the Miami Dolphins, when they play them, which is late in the year, they play them twice late in the year, hopefully can take advantage of that because I think the Bills by that point will be mailing it in. They will be mailing it in. I don't think they're going to want any part of those games in December and that ice-cold weather. So the Miami Dolphins need to sweep them this year because that's a miserable football team.
Absolutely. Let's go to the last part of this conversation regarding the AFC East. The New England Patriots get slacked in Jacksonville by the Jags, 31-20. Tom Brady cannot play in hot weather. It is official. Any game that's over 85 degrees, I believe his record now is 1-6 in those type of games. But I was astounded. I did not expect Jacksonville to start the same way they did the AFC Championship game last year and just put points up after point up after point up against New England Patriots, and the Patriots had no response whatsoever. And in this game, Gronkowski, you know, Jalen Ramsey, for all the trash talk he does, said Gronk is trash. He can do nothing in this league. He was held to 4 targets, 2 catches, 15 yards for Rob Gronkowski, and the Jaguars moved to 2-0, and the Patriots are 1-1 and not looking like their schedule is going to lighten up very much at all, other than playing the Lions next Sunday night Detroit. Then they play the Dolphins at home, but the schedule towards the end of the season is just brutal. So the Patriots losing today is a big help for the Miami Dolphins, as the Dolphins are sitting alone in first place in the AFC East.
Here's a Patriots problem. And look, I'm no expert on the Patriots by any means. I don't follow their moves every day like I do the Dolphins. But last year, the Patriots were miserable on defense. They were miserable. Jay Cutler, who played horrible the entire season for the Dolphins last year, had the best game of his life against the Patriots because the Patriots were terrible on defense. They were miserable on defense last year. This offseason, yeah, they signed a guy here, signed a guy there, but they really didn't address the issues on defense, I feel. They had 2 picks in round 1. 2. And they made it to the Super Bowl with that miserable defense. You think with 2 picks, they spend at least one of them on somebody to play that side of the ball. They took an offensive lineman who's now out for the rest of the year, who got hurt. And then they took a running back when they have, God knows how many they got. White, they have Rex
Burkhead,
they got Hill. I mean, I don't think they really needed one there, especially in last year's draft where there was a million running backs available. It's like they did nothing. They didn't do enough to improve that side of the ball because they still can't stop anybody. Blake Bortles is still Blake Bortles, and he went up and down the field on him today. And that's not going to change. The Patriots, look, they're still great. Tom Brady, they're probably still going to win the AFC East. Nobody's saying something crazy here otherwise. But, you know, one, they want to win Super Bowls, and they're not going to win Super Bowls with that defense. If they got to play the Kansas City Chiefs, which I'm pretty sure they do. No, I'm not sure if
they do this year.
They do?
They do.
You know, Kansas City and Pat Mahomes, he's going to go up and down the field, and I'm like, nuts, because they can't stop anybody. And they're going to struggle against teams with a halfway decent offense. And I will say this. I actually watched the second half of the Lions against San Fran. And the Lions in the second half of that game, the light bulb finally went off for them. Now, look, they're still the Lions. They're still lost and stuff. But the second half of that game, you saw the old Matt Stafford. Something went off, and they played with some heart, and they almost made a wild comeback to win it. They're going to give the Patriots fits. I'm not saying they're going to win, but they will give the Patriots fits next week, because if that offense, which started to click in the second half of that San Fran game, sort of carries over to next week, the Patriots are going to have trouble stopping them. They just can't stop people. And unless they're playing a team with no quarterback or a young quarterback like last year with Watson, you know, they're going to have trouble stopping teams with just even a halfway decent offense.
I agree 100%. This game that the Dolphins will play in 2 weeks against New England in New England is going to be very telling for both sides. And I think that's one of the games that Adam Gase, Ryan Tannehill, and the entire offense needs to play the most flawless game they've ever played to have a shot to beat the Patriots in their house for the first time since 2008. But we got a game next week, the Oakland Raiders. We're heading into Raiders week. We have, of course, the DolphinsTalk.com daily podcast featuring Mike, which will be kicking off, I believe, tomorrow or Tuesday. I think you'll have your first show.
Yeah, we'll see what this show will probably drop late Sunday, so this might count as like the Monday show. I don't know. If there's like a lot of news to talk about, I'll have a show Monday night. But if not, then we'll have another show Tuesday for sure. Yeah.
Excellent. So to prepare you for the game, make sure you check out DolphinsTalk.com. You know, on our website, make sure you follow us on Twitter at DolphinsTalk. You can follow me on Twitter at TErnessy13. We appreciate all of you for listening to the show. Mike, you want to give a shout out to everybody that supports our podcast as well as our sponsors.
Yep, everyone, be sure to follow us, whether on iTunes, SoundCloud, TuneIn, Google Play, wherever. If you want to send me an email, I can be reached at dolphinstalk1977@gmail.com.
No hate email, people. No hate email.
They can send it. I'm just not going to read it if it's about that one certain topic, which I won't talk about again. And if you're not sure what I'm talking about, listen to the show I did Friday. What else? I think that we have a ton of new articles up on the site. We have a new video. And check out our video section on the website. We have new videos up almost every day. So check out the video portion of our website, sort of near the bottom of the website. Check it out. I don't talk about that enough, but that's something to check out. So, yeah. We're going to have a ton of new stuff up. Check out dolphinstalk.com multiple times a day because there's stuff going up all the time.
Awesome. Well, we again appreciate everyone listening to the post-game wrap-up show. I am Tom, joined by Mike. Appreciate everyone for coming on. We'll see you again real soon. Fins up.
Fins up.
Thank you for listening to the DolphinsTalk.com podcast. Be sure to visit DolphinsTalk.com every day for all of your latest Miami Dolphins news.